Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Alison was admiring my earrings. Look.
Oh, very nice earrings, Maureen. Very nice.
Yes, for a pound.
Great.
You can't even compliment her without getting the cost of every single item.
I'm worried your ears are going to go green or something.
Yeah, there is strong possibility that might happen.
She said that. She was like, they might go green. I was like, and then the cream you're going to have to buy is going to cost you £10 and you lot. No,
no, I'm going to save us. Anyway, I'm allergic to nickel. So yeah, it could be a problem.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, it's put a little bit of a frisson into the whole experience, doesn't it? Every time you put your earrings on. Uh-oh, they might go green. So I like that little edge of danger.
Yeah, that risk. When you're that risk taking that I have. Living life on the edge.
Yes, people say that you're quite risk adverse, Maureen, but actually not when it comes to earrings. No. You've really nailed that. Anyway, they're very nice. I can't really see them, to be honest.
That's why you should join our Patreon, because then you can look at the video.
Look, well, I mean, I don't join the Patreon, Maureen. I'm here. Yes.
Join the Patreon.
I mean, forward. I can't see them.
Oh.
No, I was saying you can't see them, you wally.
There, they're beautiful.
Right, oh, there they are. Yes, they do look like they might cause problems later. Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Oh, okay, it's a morning record, so we're in our morning moods. How is everyone today? How was everyone's week?
Well, I went to a cat cafe, Alison.
I saw that.
Well, we've peaked. That's the end of the show. Thanks very much. We don't need to go any further. Nothing more needs to be said. Maureen has literally made this the best. This is the best section of this section, which is normally, I would say, a bit baggy due to me not doing anything, has suddenly, we've gone a full 180. And tell us about this cat cafe then. I want to hear
it. It's not cheap. It was £15 for the hour, but it was raining. It was horrible. I had time to kill. And it was my ideal cafe. There was no one else in there, really. No music. It was completely silent. There were sofas. So obviously I lounged on the sofa. A lot of the cats was...
And full of cats.
And full of cats. But old cats. So most of them were asleep, because that's what cats do. But then I did one. There was one that was like I was being friendly to, and it was kept kissing my nose. I was like, oh my God, I've got such a way with animals. And then the woman who works there went, oh no, he does that to everyone.
Oh, why wouldn't she just
let
you have that?
Let you think that he was being that was a special
that was
thing
a special
for you.
Thing for me. And then I was lying
I'm heartbroken that they took that away from dear sweet Maureen.
I was lying on the sofa and I was about to get up because I was going to only do half an hour. And then this other cat, you know what cats are like, just came and sat on me and slept on me. And she was lovely as well. And then you got free drinks. I only had two hot chocolates, so it was £7.50 a hot chocolate. But
I was going to say it wasn't free, but £15 to absorb the atmosphere of being. You've changed, Maureen.
I know. Never have done that before. I don't normally spend £15, do I? I begrudgingly spend.
Well, we've just established that. I mean, by how much you spent on those earrings.
Earrings, yeah.
For you to spend £15 on anything, let alone something where you're not left with anything at the end.
I mean, to be fair, the weather was really shit and I was like, oh, I just can't be bothered to wander around.
Where was it?
Liverpool. That's my attempt at an accent.
I know. Oh, we're all backing out right now before we get angry Scousers. I wish I would have seen you in and amongst the... Because I feel like I would have seen you lying amongst your spirit animals.
They are my spirit animals.
Like, I kind of feel... Yeah. Cat's napping? That is your spirit animal. That is.
Do you know my... I feel like Jamie's changed you.
Do you know what? My neighbours call me... Their cat is Ripley and they call me Ripley too. To say all I do when I go to the house is lounge and eat.
That is all you do. That's all you do when you come to my house. Sometimes Chloe will hover near Maureen going, Maureen, what do you think about the dishwasher? Maureen goes, yes, useful, isn't it? Chloe will be like, would you like to put your plate in the dishwasher?
I'm really good at ignoring hints, aren't I? Really good. But half the time I don't get them. And then sometimes I do, but I just act stupid.
Yeah.
And get away with it.
Well, yeah, I would say that the ice is pretty thin now, Maureen, so take the plate to the dishwasher.
We've got a very large, successful portion of the podcast built on that alone.
Yes, that's true.
That is true.
And then on the way back from Birmingham, I hit the big march. So it took me, Londoners will appreciate this, it took me an hour and a half to get from Finchley Road to Victoria. So it took me almost as long to get across one part of London as it did to get from Birmingham to London.
Oh,
it was
God.
A very long coach journey.
Well, they're going to be every Saturday, so strap yourself in.
Oh, are they? It was massive. And then we got to Victoria Station. That was rammed. Obviously, I made my way through. And then the tubes were rammed, but I still got a seat. So I was pretty happy.
Of course. Well, none of us doubted that, did you, Alice?
No.
I didn't even think to question that. Nope. No.
I assumed you'd had two seats to yourself, to be honest with you.
I mean, if I could have got away with it, I would have done. So how was the... and I did my gig in Birmingham. You know, I run it.
Oh, tell us about that. How was that? At Kitchen Garden
Cafe?
Yeah,
that was absolutely lovely. Sold out, really.
Such a nice gig. Such a lovely audience that you've curated, Maureen. You created all of that. It was great.
It's so nice. And the annoying thing is I did 20 minutes of new stuff, like for my show. And for some reason, I didn't record it. I thought I had, and I went to listen to it.
Oh, God, that sounds...
But Alison's doing it in January, aren't you, Alison?
I am, you lovely lady. You put me on so I can plug my show in Birmingham. Did I mention that I'm going on tour? I'm trying to get better at this, everyone. I'm going on tour in January, February. You can come see me. Look at my social media. I am in Birmingham, Leicester, Sheffield, Nottingham. Any of the cities that I opened up for Jen is the city that you will find.
Yeah. Are you going to Leeds as well?
I'm setting up a Leeds date. Yeah.
Listen, Alison is a fantastic comedian. In fact, any of you that have come to see some of my shows up north with Alison supporting will know that already. It's always fantastic feedback for you, Alison, after you've been on stage, isn't there? So go see Alison. She's absolutely brilliant comedian and you won't be disappointed. And a ray of sunshine, if I do say so myself.
Thanks.
What was it? Alison, do you remember? Who was it that came up to you? Or someone said, I'll let you tell the story, but somebody approached you after the show, didn't they?
Yeah. And so this lovely girl who was waiting to have Jen sign her book, she bought Jen's book. And we're standing there and she's like, I had never seen you before. I enjoyed you so much. It's like on stage, you're like our fairy godmother.
Oh, I looked at her and went, oh my God.
Fairy godmother who talks about marijuana. And you know, that kind of fairy godmother.
Maybe that's why you're her fairy godmother.
Fairy godmother that talks about marijuana and which side of the bed he has to finish himself off. But other than that, just like your average fairy godmother.
Just like your regular, you know. But it was so sweet. I was like, that is so nice that you picked up that vibe. Yeah.
It's true to say that even when you're talking about stuff that, you know, most people don't talk about, you do it in such a way that people go, she's so sweet.
Isn't she lovely? She's just so lovely.
She called that guy a cunt, and what an absolute treat that was for all of us. Such a gentle soul. Whereas when I do it, people go, oh, she seems a lot. She seems, if anything, too much.
Oh, God.
Yes, so Alison's fun. On tour. Have a look at Alison's website. And Alison, what's your website's name? Alison June Smith.
Smith.com. Yeah. So it's just Alison June Smith. Put it on in there. You'll find me. There's
Alison
only
with a Y. Don't be putting it with an I.
No,
okay.
I'm not one of those.
No.
Not that there's anything wrong with any of those. If you're out there, please keep listening. We love you.
Jen, what have you been up to? On tour?
Yes. I had five. I did like almost seven shows in a row. Well, no, I had one day off.
Honey.
But pretty much seven shows back to back with one day off, which was spent traveling. But yeah, that's the biggest. That's the last big chunk of the tour. By the time this episode goes out, my tour will have finished at the Nottingham Playhouse. So we've got two more shows to do with at the Manchester Royal Exchange in Nottingham Playhouse, both of which I will have Alison and Maureen supporting me at. So that will be fun. So yes, I mean, God, let's not dwell on that. We've done it.
How many shows in total, Jen? How many shows in total has it been that you have done?
I thought it was 115. Then my producer said 116, but I don't know.
It's been a lot.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. I think we've done enough. What was quite interesting is because I've been doing bits and bobs of stuff with some people that are from America, and they're like, how on earth can you do 115 dates in the UK? And I went, really easily. I said, there's loads of places I didn't even go to. I said, it could have been 200 dates. So like, but your country is the size of New York State. And I went, I know. It doesn't make sense to anything. I said, some of the venues that I did were like 15 miles from each other.
Yeah.
You know, but people won't travel down to, like I did Plymouth and then I did Launceston the next day. And Launceston is really not far from Plymouth. And I said to my producer, I went, you know, why have we got Launceston when we're doing Plymouth? And he was like, because people in Launceston, that's Cornwall, don't go down to Plymouth in Devon. They'll only go and see a show in Cornwall. And I went, oh my God. Okay, so that's why. So yes, it's very easy to do hundreds of dates in the UK, which is why people like Jason Manford and Sarah Millican and, you know, maybe not Michael McIntyre anymore, but they can tour. Ed Byrne is a classic example. He can do 200 dates at minimum at every time he tours. Mm-hmm. I won't be doing that.
Is that what we've learned from this tour? That will not be happening.
Yeah. I will never do that. That's okay. But yes, it's great. So well done, me. And then it hasn't happened yet, but it has happened. But at this point, it hasn't happened. But when this comes out, it will have happened. The three of us will have had a little celebration to say it's over. Well done, us. Congratulations.
Well done, us. Thanks for making us a part of this, Jen. Yeah.
Well, Maureen pretty much did the first leg of the tour. You've done a big chunk of the second and third leg. So, yeah, of course you're all part of the tour. You're all part of it. But it's the show isn't just me. It's everyone in the show. As I often get messages going, I absolutely loved watching Maureen or Alison or Katie Mulgrew or Ingrid Dahler or whoever's supporting me. So there you go.
You're so lovely.
Well, look at us. Alison, what about your week? I haven't even asked you. I always do that. Go, forget Alison.
Oh,
it's
fine. Hey, the fairy godmother, that made me happy. Let me live in that for my week experience. That was a nice moment for me.
It's, you know, we've got to grab these compliments, haven't we? Because if we get on social media, the other stuff is...
Yeah, I'm still living in that.
So we've all had a week, but it's time to turn back to the younger, that is Maureen. And she has a moment, and it's a Be More Maureen. What is it, Maureen, for the love of God?
I messaged Jen, I have just put olive oil in my eyes. And I was like, sitting there going, why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No,
you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen.
Well, actually, it's a moment shared with one of our big fans, Bren Sorensen and the twins. And I was at a gig. Well, they were at a gig that I was on at. And I went to greet them and I couldn't really hug them. And I was like, this is a bit funny. And then I realised my cardigan was upside down, not inside out, but upside down. So the neck was where the bum is.
Right.
How How long had you existed with it like that?
Oh, who knows? Probably all evening. And then I said, all right. And then I put it back on again, up the right way up, but inside out. And then it got even better. So I chatted to them. And then as I was walking out the room, I hadn't been on yet. I was walking out the room. This woman came up to me, just by the way, your dress is in your knickers.
Look at Alex's face. Okay.
But that doesn't finish there. And,
Oh my God.
So she goes, your dress is in your knickers. So I took the dress out and I said to, because I was on with comics I've never gigged with before. So I said to the comic I was talking to, didn't you notice that my dress was in my knickers? And he went, well, I thought it was part of your act. So he didn't say anything because he thought, well, it's obviously her character. You know, she pretends to have it.
No, she's big on the visual gags, Maureen.
And I just thought, could you imagine if I'd gone on stage with my dress and my knickers and the ones who've been sitting there going, when's she going to refer to the fact that her dress is in her knickers?
I mean, nobody in your audience would have done that. Everybody in your audience would have gone, is someone going to tell Maureen about the dress?
No, that wasn't in Birmingham. So it wasn't it was like a...
Oh, wasn't it? Where was it?
It was in Liverpool.
Awesome.
Oh, it was that hot water.
Awesome.
No, they would not have known.
And so it was like I'd gone to the toilet just before, so I'd probably spent 10 minutes with my dress and my knickers in a green room full of men and no one
had... None of them?
I think they all thought it was either character act or that was, you know.
Or they just didn't know how to tell you.
Oh, so I came very close having quite an embarrassing Be More Maureen.
Oh.
Thank you to that woman who spotted it and told me.
Yes, thank you to that woman. Oh, God, Maureen.
Wow.
Although, to be honest, out of any of us, if that had happened to you, you would have taken it in your stride.
Oh, yeah, I would have just said, fuck it.
Pulled it out and carried on.
I mean, at least I've got knickers on, do you know what I mean?
Well, if you hadn't had knickers on, how would it have got stuck
in
there?
They wouldn't have been able to get stuck in there. I know. It could have got stuck in the tights, couldn't it?
Oh, the tights. That could have got stuck in your fishnets. I mean, thank God you were wearing underwear. Yeah, 100%. But, you know, particularly with your relationship with fishnets and getting stuck to things.
But anyway, so yeah.
Maureen, that was quite a classic.
That's a good one.
We can't fault that one, actually, can we, Alison?
No.
I don't think there's anything, I mean, apart from the cardigan, putting that
upside down.
The cardigan is... And I would urge you, because I have been behind you a couple of times coming out the toilet, just have a little squint back just to check what's... If you can feel a breeze.
Oh, no. The thing is, I didn't feel anything.
Clearly. Just have a little...
little look.
Yeah. Well, Maureen, that was very entertaining. Thank you very much for your...
Excellent.
Eat my body moment. Let us turn now to Alison, who has got a problem. Someone has asked her about it, and it's time for her to answer. Ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes, and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Hey, thank you so much. Again, thank you everyone for writing in. I gotta say, I'm getting more people writing in than ever before, and it makes me so, so happy. I'm so grateful. Thank you very much. When I first started this, I was like, if anyone wants my opinion, I'll be surprised. So it's really nice. It's really nice to have this. So thank you. Here's a good one, and I think a lot of people can relate to this one, all right? My husband is being made redundant early next year after 30 years working for the same company. He hasn't said much, bar discussing the redundancy package, but I can tell he is feeling dejected by the situation. How do I support him through this over the coming months? Okay, look, this is a hard one, but the first thing I want him to know, or you to know, is that you are not alone in this. In fact, I Googled this and I looked it up, and did you know that this year, 2023, appears to become the year of redundancies? All of the stuff that happened with Brexit, pandemic, yada, yada, this is the year that it's really hitting. So you're not alone, which I don't know if that provides you with any comfort, but I think you're going to see this around a little bit. So you're not alone. He's not the only one. So some of the things that I think you could do, okay? Again, not a therapist, just giving some advice, some things I looked up. I want to praise you already for being on top of being concerned about his mental health, his feelings, even before he's bringing it up. Good for you. You're already a step ahead of things if you're already thinking about that. Because often when people lose a job, it is a loss. So he is going to go through a mourning period, you know. There's not much you can do during this other than just support him, right? Because they're going to have to go through the period of, like, feeling, you know, like, you know, denial, all the stages of you know, when you go through a loss. The last thing is probably going to be a little bit of anger. I bet you at some point a little bit of anger is going to come out. So I really want you to encourage your husband to express any of the feelings that he's going through. And he might be annoyed, but delicately just talk about the feelings. How are you feeling? What's going on? Get the anger out. Help it by helping them let off steam. You're helping them to get out emotions that could bottle up and bubble over later. So well done. Always be reminding them of their strong points. I think sometimes when people go through a job loss, they start to really doubt themselves and what they're capable of. Your job right now as the partner is to set them up, to remind them of all the great things that they are capable of all the great things that they can do. Make them feel loved. Four big things that you can do to help them through this time. Create some space. He's going to need some time. Like, even if he gets back up on the horse and goes and looks for another job, create some space, or maybe he has some times during the day where he can just go and relax and be on his own and have some time to reflect. Listen, listen, and listen again. Anything that he needs to talk about, you're the ear right now. You're not going to solve any problems by giving advice. You are here to listen and offer support. That's the best thing you can do. Share the load, all right? Although he's got no time, well, he's got lots of time. Looking for a new job can take so much time. So, like, even though he's not doing anything, maybe don't be like, hey, why don't you go paint that fence like you said you'd do? Or why don't you? Loading them up with tasks at the house does not help. He needs time to take some space and to figure things out. So although you're like, well, keep him busy. No, no, no. Give them the time they need. And small gestures matter. Look, any steps towards finding a new job or a new hobby or something to fill them positively, encourage that. Celebrate that. Oh my God, you want to put on ice skates? You haven't skated for 20 years. Good for you. Get out on that ice. I'm terrified for your life, but go for it. Small gestures, anything that they're doing to try and pep themselves up, support them. I also want to get you to support your husband to maybe find a mentor or a friend or someone else that is going through this, or somebody who is perhaps still in the world of work that they like, so they can kind of be talking to somebody else about these things. Because you know what? You can't be the only person they're talking to. So encouraging them to find some people to chat with about either being in this state, maybe moving forward. The more people that they have in their surrounding in that state, the better. Also, because you're going to need a break. You can't be the only one propping them up. So you got to find them some more support networks to do that. But more than anything, I know the both of you will get through it. And I just want to say, I think your husband is so lucky to have a partner who is already thinking about these things and wanting to take steps to support them. Your husband's going to be just fine because he's got someone like you in his life. That's the best advice that I can give right now.
Brilliant. Alison, great advice. I don't think I can add to any of that. I think, oh God, just losing your job is just...
After 30 years too of being... And this is what I mean. It's going to happen. Like, there's redundancies happening.
There's the fact that he's probably been very loyal to the company. But loyalty in work only goes one way. And then, do you know what I mean? They have no qualms about getting rid of you. And so there is
They have to.
Yeah. So there's that sense probably that you've been let down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, you've worked hard for 30 years and then it's like, bye.
Yeah, it's like a bereavement, isn't it?
It really is.
You know, I think Maureen's right. There's a huge amount of investment from yourself that you've given to a company, and you expect a certain amount back. And then when you don't get it, it must be really hard to feel like you've been, or maybe bereavement's the wrong word, but like being like dumped or divorced or you know, that sort of thing.
And also often people are kind of their jobs kind of identifies them. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I always say I'm a comedian. You always say you're a comedian.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that's, you know, I know somebody who worked in computers and cabling, and then, you know, that job ceased to exist because everything's wireless now. So, you know, you were once quite respected and you had a job that people really needed, and then you become obsolete. You know, how depressing is that?
Yeah.
And also, once you get to a certain age, it's
more
like,
difficult.
It's it's much harder to retrain. There is a great deal of ageism around. People are reluctant to employ someone over a particular age in a new position. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a very tricky situation, but I think your advice is spot on. And all you can do at the moment for your partner is be that person that is there to support them. And because he will hit the skids, I imagine, at some point and just go, what the hell?
Yeah.
And it's not the most buoyant time to be looking for work, but it's not impossible. And, yeah. You know, it may be that he finds something that is a passion or a, might not pay as much, but something that he really does feel something for.
Yeah.
You know, look, you're talking to three self-employed women here. So,
mind you know, I was made redundant.
We can do it.
Yeah. I was made redundant just as I started stand up. And that actually worked out really well for me. I mean, I got freelance work, which worked well with doing stand up. So you just never know.
Yeah.
You never know. And sometimes one door closes. Oh, God, I can't believe I said that.
Another one opens.
No, look it. Your show, The Optimist, is seeking into you. For real it is now, Jen.
But it is true. You know, sometimes you think, well, that is the worst thing that could have ever happened to me. And that my life is actually now a mess. And it's... But then you don't realise that, you know, that job or that relationship or whatever, that is over. All of a sudden, it means that you are now available for something else that you don't even know is coming around the corner. And I have to say that's happened to me quite a few times where I haven't gotten things or something hasn't happened for me and I've been devastated. And then fast forward a couple of months and I'm like, oh, thank God I didn't do that, because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to do this thing, which I'm actually really enjoying. So I wish him all the best, and we all hope that, you know, it's not long before he finds something that he feels, you know, good about and passionate about and enjoys, and, you know, make some sweet, sweet dough. Alison, thank you very much for your advices.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
WTB listeners, just a little note to say, please do pre-order my special, The Optimist, which is out on the 21st of November. You can pre-order it now. It will also come with an audio version of my previous show, Underprivileged. It's through 800 Pound Gorilla, and you can get it and find out all the information in the show notes or on my website or on my Instagram or on my Facebook.
Hi, WTB listeners. I don't have a special coming out, and I'm not going on tour, at least not for the moment, due to popular demand. But I do have a book, and it's Christmas, so come on, what more could you want? It's called Prisons of My Life. It's the main character in a lot of the short stories is somebody called M. God knows who she could be. Just my vivid imagination at play again. And you can get it via Amazon. Link will be in the show notes.
Hey, UK WTB listeners. I am so excited as I am going on my very first UK tour. Take a look at my website and see when my show, Little Smith Sunshine, might be coming to you. Starting in January, February, and I'm sure I'm going to add more dates. Speaking of which, if you want me to come to you, let me know where you think I should perform next. You can get tickets at my website, www.alisonjunesmith.com, and that will be in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to meet you all.
Sorry, Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double
cream. What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream. Look, it's time for our eyeballs and our ear rolls and our mouths to all come together and impart what we have been watching on the televisione.
Well, I have been watching on UK TV, I think originally it was on BBC, Traces, which is set in Dundee. Oh. And I didn't realise this. I was looking at the credits. It was co-created and written by Val McDermid, who's a very well-known Scottish writer, and Amelia Bullmore, who's a very well-known actress, very good actress.
And it's... Yes, I saw it.
Yeah, this is season two. I don't know if you've seen season two.
Oh, no, I haven't seen season two, sorry.
And it focuses on three female forensic scientists who work in this fictitious forensic college in Dundee. And they uncover the truth of a murder case. So one of the women, she's Dundonian, but she grew up in, I think, in Manchester, because her mother got killed. And she comes back and she looks into who's killed her mother, and they look into that. And so the second series is all about, they've found the guy that they believe murdered the mother, and he's on trial. It's fine. It's in Dundee, which is normally... Dundee never usually gets set as a location for anything. There is a scenario where she has a romance with Martin Compston, and it's one of those things on TV where the romance goes really quickly. So they go from bumping into each other to being madly in love and having a serious relationship. And you think if it was that quick, you'd be running for the hills, but you've got to do that because it's of the setup. But I quite enjoy it, actually. Did you enjoy it, Jen, Tracy's?
I saw the first series. I think it's absolutely fine.
It's a fine way to spend an hour.
It's fine. It's not a procedural, but it's sort of a police, kind of a very sort of BBC police drama is how I describe it. I watched it and I thought it was okay. I don't remember loving it.
I remember there's a bit where one of the forensic scientists, she really likes the detective, and I didn't realise he was married in the first series. I don't know why. The second series is clearly married, and there's a great moment where she's trying not to make out she fancies him because he's there with his wife at this event, and she makes a right cock up of it. And I was like, oh, that's me. I've done that. You know, when you're trying to be really cool and I'm going to be really cool and really calm and I don't really like him and no one's going to notice, and then you just make it really, really obvious that you really, really like him. So that was quite funny because I was like, oh, yeah, I've been there. I've done that.
Like you said, it's got the backdrop is Dundee. That would be quite familiar to Maureen, who has family there and stuff. And I think that gives it an extra layer. And and also it's not too taxing and it's perfectly enjoyable. And so,
yeah.
UK TV, is it not on iPlayer either? Is it just...
I don't know. I just don't know. Series 2 is definitely on UK TV. But I think it was originally on BBC One, the first series.
Right. Okay. Well, Traces, check it out. BBC drama. That is available now on something. I don't know. I am going to just talk about a Jesse Buckley, a double whammy of films that I watched last week when I was killing time in my hotel room. The first one I'm going to talk about is Women Talking. It's a film. I think it's a Canadian film, actually, and it's about a group of women. In this particular setting, it looks like they're Amish, but I think it's based on a book where it was set in somewhere in South America, like Bolivia, in a very sort of religious sect. And all you need to know is that it's if you think Amish, you know, where they don't use technology, they're very, very religious. It's a very, very patriarchal construct. They work as a community. They're completely cut off from the rest of the world. They certainly don't mix with other people. So it's about, basically, it's really a play is what it is, but it's been made into a film. And I really, really enjoyed it. And I know that a lot of people did not, but I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And it is
it's got a great cast, hasn't it?
The cast is absolutely outstanding. You've got Claire Foy, Rooney Mara, Jesse Buckley, Frances McDormand, Ben Whishaw, Michelle McLeod, Judith Ivey, August Winter, Sheila McCarthy. Most of those are very prominent Canadian actors. They all are absolutely fantastic. And it's this group of women have discovered. Now, they're all in a barn. They've got until sunrise to come up with what the decision that they're going to make, because they've just discovered that over many, many years, they have been raped, drugged and raped by the men that they're married to, their sons, the uncles, the people that they trust. They wake up. They're bleeding, they're pregnant, and the men have been saying, this is the work of the devil has taken over, this is the work of, you have been possessed, that's what's happened to you. Anyway, two young girls are raped by a young boy. They wake up and they catch him, and he confesses. He's like, I was told to do this. We've been drugging you with, ketamine or horse tranquilizers. And this, all the men are doing it. It's not just me. Please don't be cross with me, sort of thing. So now the women have to have a conversation. What are we going to do next? How can we continue to live in this colony when this has happened to us? And it's all it is. It's just a conversation. So it's nearly 2 hours of women talking. That's what the name of the movie is, Women Talking, and that's what it is. And it is fascinating. It's brilliant. You see the way the women, the conclusion that they come to, how they get there, how they all differ. Some of them are really angry. Some of them are not, are really just trying to make sense of it. Some of them are thinking maybe we can stay and change the way the men think. Others are thinking, no, we've got to leave. Anyway, watch it. It's fantastic. Jessie Buckley, as she is in everything, is absolutely outstanding. So that's a recommendation. You can get it on Netflix, certainly in the UK. I'm sure you can in other parts of the world as well. I really love that film. I hope that you do too. The second film is called Men. And it was also, this is also a film that came out in 2022.
I've seen Men.
Of course you have, because it's a horror film. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, stars Jesse Buckley, and also it stars Rory Kinnear in many, many, many different guises, because there are lots of men in this film, but they're all played by Rory Kinnear. Anyway, long story short, Jesse Buckley's character experiences a trauma. She's in a very sort of abusive relationship with a man. Something traumatic happens, and fast forward, she decides that she wants to go on a retreat in this beautiful house somewhere in, it feels like Gloucestershire or something like that. And just to be on her own, regroup, blah, blah, blah. And whilst she's there, she encounters all of these different men, all look identical in various different ways. And they're all really creepy. Did I enjoy this? Anyway, and then, and then the horror starts. Okay. What was this film about? I don't know. Is it that men are all the same because it's all played by the same man? I don't know is the answer. And by the time it got to the end, I was like...
You don't know how you feel. I know what you mean.
I do know how I feel. I feel like, what a waste of fucking time. I really wanted to like this film.
Yeah.
There were bits of it that I did really like. I thought it was shot beautifully. I thought some of the direction was fantastic. But the actual story, I felt like I was being beaten over the head, and I say this as a feminist. I didn't really get the ending. I don't know. I hate. Right, I'm not going to be entirely negative because this is very subjective. Watch it if you want to.
Yeah,
and Jesse Buckley is just, I think she's fantastic, and I know that it's a bit crap to say you just watch a movie because an actor's in it, but I that's really why I watched it, because she's in it. I can recommend the first. I can't say I can recommend the second. Alison, I don't know if you've got anything to quickly add to that.
No, I'm with you. It was one of those movies that the ending, you're like, what exactly? But there was a good elements of creepiness. Look, if you like creepiness, I go into movies just looking for, I don't know, it was creepy, but I'm with you, Jen. The overall feeling, I walked away going, I don't really know what I watched. But okay, cool.
But maybe that's okay as well. Maybe that's okay. Maybe you don't need to know what you've watched. If you want, if you want a conclusion that makes sense, maybe swerve this one. But definitely watch Women Talking. Anyway, Maureen, you have already said what you've said.
Yes.
And Alison is back to you. God almighty. It's too early for me, guys. I'm so sorry.
Okay. I found a horror that I think is great, that goes along great with the problem of redundancy. So I want to recommend to you a horror movie called Mayhem. Okay? Mayhem tells the story of a virus that infects a corporate law office on the day attorney Derek Cho is framed by a coworker and wrongfully fired. The infection is capable of making people act out their wildest impulses. Trapped in the quarantine building, our hero is forced to savagely fight tooth and nail for not only his job, but his life. Okay?
What? Who comes up with these crazy ideas? I mean, like, it's a crazy idea, isn't it?
It's so good, though.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
So great. They drink a monster drink. This is what gives them the virus. It is awesome, guys. Why I like this movie so much. Also, the actors in it. I found this one because it was, I'm looking up the, because I always say it wrong. So Steven Yeun, who was from The Walking Dead. This is why I found it, because I liked him so much
Stephen
in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, and he was in Beef as well.
Yeah. And so I just was like, yeah, let me give it a go. I love this movie. To me, it's like The Office meets Outbreak. Okay? So I really enjoyed
two films you're going to put, genres you're going to put together.
That's why it was so great. And why I thought this movie pertains so much to the problem is because, and I'm not ruining the movie by giving you the end, but at the end, so our hero advises the audience to take control of their own lives before it's too late. And I just thought that was a really inspirational thing. So the whole story is this guy loses his job, wrongfully loses his job. But at the end, we find out that, like, probably the best thing that ever happened to him. So I really thought the message out of this horror movie, A, don't drink monster drinks. B, take control of your own lives before it's too late. So Mayhem, it's a zombie film. There's a lot of action. There's some blood. It's kind of funny as well. So I highly recommend it. Mayhem. Yeah.
I think I might watch that. That does sound, that's kind of sounds like that's
you
the
like,
horror.
You like zombies, don't you?
I do love a zombie thing. I don't know what it is. I love a little bit of a post-apocalyptic or even apocalyptic nonsense. Alison, thank you very much for that recommendation, Mayhem. I might check that out today. That's how I'm going to work very quickly with this. Let's move back to Maureen Younger. She has a corner. It's full of something. Don't put your finger in. It might fall off. Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
Thanks, Brista. You really don't need to go to so much effort for those intros, believe me. Just say my name will be enough. It's fine. I don't need a big intro. Bloody hell. Anyway, Brista. I'm going to start introing you now, I think.
I think you have to. In fact, you can. That's coming up next.
Anyway, this week, Cultural Corner, I'm about to say Culture Club. The Cultural Corner is a book club, which is on the 27th of November at 7:30. Details on the WTB book club page on Facebook. This month's book is, it's funny when you talk about women talking, is The Manning Tree Witches, which I haven't finished yet. I will have finished by the time of book club. It's really well written, very well written. But it's one of those things where you go, this is not going to end well. I mean, obviously, it's set at the time of the 17th century, and it's based on a real character, the Witchfinder General. And he did really exist, Matthew Hopkins. And you've got a group of women, and it's just misogyny written large. I mean, we still live in a misogynist society. It's just in a different format. But you've got a group of women who laugh at Matthew Hopkins at some point, and then they forget about it. And then the author goes, but he didn't. And it reminded me of Margaret Atwood's, well, I'm going to paraphrase, you know, the thing that men fear most is women laughing at them. The thing that women fear most is men killing them. And it is so true, because you just know that This is all leading to them getting killed. And I've got to the bit where they arrest the first woman. And what they're saying is, you know, the description of witches was basically any woman who lived over the age of 40 looked like that, who was impoverished. You know, they did look like an old crone because of the way they lived and how they, you know, survived. So it was like, and you know, witches' marks was like if they found a pimple on you or a spot or a mole. I mean, you know, everybody has one of those. And, you know, you've got a daughter who's now basically accused her mother of witchcraft just to save her own skin. And you think, you know what, because she sees how it's all going and she gets in first. And you think you can understand that, because if you're going to get tortured and die in a horrible way, the chances are you will throw other people under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all this, you know, and it's a time when they didn't really understand things happening. So anything bad happened was blamed on somebody, you know, and it's quite a depressing book. I mean, it is very well written, but you kind of think nothing really has much changed, because if women put their head over the parapet now, they still get, you know, now it's they're on social media and they get rape threats and murder threats. You know, you had that woman who suggested that Jane Austen should go on the £10 note. And she got rape threats and murder. You think, how much did you hate Pride and Prejudice? You know, I mean, to suggest that a very well-known UK author be on a £10 note, there's nothing really controversial about that. You know, it's that kind of thing that, you know, and that women join in on this because they obviously don't want, you know, they want to be seen as, like, we don't want to be picked on. So it is a really good book, really well written, but it is like, you're like, do you know what I mean? You know it's getting to the end where it's not going to be a nice ending.
There's lots of those great books, aren't there, where you know, they're very well written. They're about a subject that, you know, it's kind of relevant.
Still
and
relevant
important,
today.
Even though it's centuries earlier. You've got to be in the mood, though, haven't you?
It's like, oh, I'll have a little 50. I mean, it, you know, it is well done, but you are like, because, you know, you're just getting towards.
Can't wait to. The bit where they get tortured and murdered. Can't wait for that bit.
So that was this month's book. And next month's book is completely different. It's Colson Whitehead, who wrote The Underground Railroad. It was exactly that type of book where you're reading it going, this is a really good book, but it's very depressing because that book's about slavery. But this is called Harlem Shuffle. He's an American author. And I'm just going to read you a little bit about it. Basically, Ray Carney, the lead character in this, is a seemingly honest furniture salesman, but he occasionally fences the odd stolen goods. Then he falls in with a group of robbers. And as the book says, can Ray avoid getting killed, save his cousin and grab his share of the big score, all while maintaining his reputation as the go-to source for all your quality home furniture needs?
Oh. Okay, that sounds like it's a little bit more...
lighter.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a really good writer. Underground Railroad is very good, but again, it's one of those books where you're like,
well, if it's about slavery, I think, you know, that's another one where you go, okay, I've got to steel myself
for that. Yeah, but this looks quite interesting. So, yeah, Harlem Shuffle, that's going to be our next book.
Brilliant. Thanks, Maureen Younger. And if you want to join Maureen with her book club, then we do head to our WTB Facebook page. All of the information will be on there. If you're not on Facebook, then you can go to Maureen and help me out here.
Oh, just contact me and I can give you the details. That's fine.
Just message Maureen, she'll send you the link.
Just,
We're very personable people. And with that, thank you very much too. We've recently had a flurry of messages. So we just wanted to say thank you for people that have taken the trouble to message us. Thank you so much. It's very much appreciated. We love to hear from you. And if we haven't replied, apologies. We read them and then we always think someone else is going to reply. Oh, Alison will reply, or Maureen will reply, or Jen will reply. And then no one replies. But we do read them and we send them to each other and we're very grateful. So thank you.
Yes. And thank you for reviews. Those of you who have taken the time to give us some reviews, that really helps us too. And there's more and more. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
But now it is the low light of the show. It's Jen moaning yet again, blah 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 blah, because she's never happy. Oh my god, I've been on a tour, 116 dates, what a bloody nightmare. I'm selling out all over the place, people love me, I've gone viral on YouTube. What a nightmare my life is. I no longer go and gig for £200 a night. Isn't it a nightmare for me? Anyway, here she is, Miss Upbeat herself, Jen Brister.
Don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, okay? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society. Wow. I feel like that's been sitting there ready to come out for quite a long
that
time.
That came out really well.
I mean, I almost feel like that had been rehearsed.
She's been practicing that in the mirror.
I mean, I have to say that mine are very much thought of on the spot, but that really felt like it had been composed carefully.
And edited.
With care, edited. And delivered, actually, with marked restraints, given...
Give the feelings behind it.
Give me the feelings behind it. So thank you very much for the introduction, Maureen. Wowzers. I almost feel like we could end the show on that. I actually don't think anything I say after that is relevant. I think Maureen has managed to cover an intro and a goat in one, which is, I don't think it's ever been done before. Do you?
Not yet, but yeah, brilliant.
Maureen, what's been getting your goat? reading between the lines, I'm going to say me. thank you for that introduction, Maureen Younger. I honestly, yet again, I'm going to go back to the trains. Because...
Don't ever stop. Go back to the trains. Yeah.
I just can't cope. I don't understand them. I don't understand. I was waiting to get a train about a week and a half ago, and they said to me, I said, my train's been cancelled. I said, what do I do? Because I've got a connecting train. And they said, oh, you can get on the train before. I said, how can I get on the train before? They said, oh, well, that one's been delayed. I said, oh, okay. So I got on the train before, which... I don't know, didn't replace the one after, but was also not the one before because it was 45 minutes after it was supposed to be going, but still before the one I was getting. And I said, can I ask, why have the trains been cancelled? He said, oh, wet weather. I said, what? He said, yeah, it's been a bit wet. I said, what are you talking about? We live in England. This is Britain. We only have wet weather. That's all we have. He went, well, yeah, it's just been very wet recently. I was like, okay. And I said, and that has meant that this train has been cancelled, but the one before it hasn't been cancelled. It's just been delayed to leave at the same time, well, 5 minutes earlier than the train I was supposed to be getting. He said, yep. And I said, and why is this train able to go, but these other trains can't go? He went, what can I say? It's the wet weather. I went, that makes no sense. None of this makes any sense. A train has been cancelled, then another train has been delayed. It leaves about the same time as the train I was supposed to be getting. The one I couldn't get was because of the wet weather, but this one can go despite the wet weather. What is going on? It's not, I don't understand. And I'd like to say that was the only conversation I had around the wet weather situation. But I have now decided, don't bother getting trains. I've got to get a train to Liverpool today. That has been delayed, again, due to weather. I'm looking out the window. It's not raining. I don't. What is the weather? What is the weather doing? So that's getting my goat now. But you know, you've got to be. I'm trying to embrace the Zen part of the Jen, and you can't change the things that you cannot change, and go with the thing that
Exactly. That is exactly a Jen.
And what I have been doing is paying for if you go on Avanti, what a dreadful service. If you want to upgrade to first class, it's often very expensive, but you can actually upgrade to a premium thing. And I think it's only an extra 20 quid. I just do that.
Premium seat.
You don't get any extras, but you get a seat. And I'm like, that'll do, pig. That'll do. Anyway, that's it. For this week's episode of WTB Podcasty, Dankeschön and gracias, and auf Wiedersehen and goodbye. Thank you so much.
Bye.
See ya.
Women Talking Bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
and leave us a little review.
Or you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.